This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question: what thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
A couple of quick texts there. It says, I own a glass antique hospital bed urinal. I found it years ago when I was hired to clean out a garage and throw everything away. That is the one thing I kept. Now, later, when I went to college, and after many cleanings, I used it as my drinking mug at Keggers. Very mixed reactions.
Okay. Everybody calls it a bedpan?
Yeah, bedpan, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
I've always wanted a urinal.
Oh, like for your actual bathroom?
In my house.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, why not?
It'd be perfect.
Saves water.
Someone here says you're talking about what it used to be, what, KISW FM 100.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, it says, in the late 80s, I quote-unquote appropriated a KISW FM 100 banner from Supercross in the King Dome. I hung it on the boat at Seafair. Holy cow, what a party. We had to turn people away as the boat was getting overboarded.
Oh, we watched from Georgetown on an overpass on a Red Festival one year where we had the big... There was a big-ass men's room banner.
Was it 30 or 40 feet across?
I don't know, man. We just saw it get rolled up like a blind and just taken away, man. It was like, that was a hit job. That thing was gone quick.
Yeah, I remember our promotion guy was just like, God damn it. And I said, man, look, if anyone wants it that bad, let them keep it. Because that's kind of awesome.
And the way the guy actually called in at one point, too. He went to another event. He was like, dude, I was the guy that took it.
And then the guy here, we're talking about Bruce the shark from Jaws. So speaking of Bruce, the jaw shark, he was bursting through the kitchen wall at my friend's house. It was a huge head portion, but it was cast from the original movie shark. Super realistic, unique decoration. Actually, on that note, in my basement, I have, it is life-size. It's a plaster, a gold leaf-covered plaster cast of a rhino head. Right?
So
it's
really
big, massive gold leaf rhino head. And like I said, it's actual size because it was cast from an actual rhino head. And, yeah, a lot of people ask, why do you have it? And I say, because I had to. And this thing...
Where did you see this thing?
It was a place called Ballard Consignment, right? So my wife would go in there, and we'd buy, like, different furniture, whatever, kind of getting the house set up. And this thing was always there. I knew it was for sale. I saw it for about 3 years, and I told my wife every single time...
I want that.
I'm buying that thing, right? So we managed to get all this stuff done. And so my reward to myself was, I bought this massive rhino head. I love the thing. It serves no purpose at all. It's literally just mounted.
Is it hanging on the wall?
It's hanging on the wall. Like I said, it is a rhino head, the size of one. So it's
how big is this thing?
It is about, so it would be about where the neck starts to meet the body of the rhino is basically where it's severed. So that's the part mounted to the wall. The head itself, it extends out about 4 feet. It is huge.
Wow.
Oh, it's massive, dude. You can't miss it. And the kids have named it Eleanor. So even when you walk in the house, yeah, they'll say Eleanor, and everyone in the family knows what they're talking about. But it's fantastic, but again, serves no purpose at all. Like, so I'm sitting there watching football on Sundays, me and a kid are down there, and big-ass Eleanor.
There it is.
Right beside us. Yeah.
I mean, it's art.
Yeah.
It's unique.
It is definitely unique, and when we bought it from the place, right, because they had this thing mounted there, like I said, forever, to the point where the employees treated it more like their personal decoration than actually something for sale. So when I actually bought the thing... The guy, the sales rep, he's even like, oh, yeah, you can buy that. Then he had to get two other guys to dismount it so we could load it up in the vehicle. And they were kind of bummed. Even when they took it out to the car, they're like, we're going to miss this thing. I said, dude, I get it. I've been staring at it for 4 years. I don't know why anyone, including myself, likes it. You just kind of do. And I actually felt bad for buying it because these guys were kind of butthurt that someone was finally taking us off their hands. I'm like, well... Yeah, I wanted it for years, man, and shockingly, no one else bought it. So yeah. There I was.
Real or fake, I like the animal heads.
Dude, it's really cool, and it's actually cast from a rhino head, so when you look at it, It looks all every wrinkle, everything, even like into the ears. It's pretty crazy, man. Then the gold leaf that it's 4 feet, it's hanging in the basement, serves zero purpose other than my own amusement.
Yeah, but I went to a street beach fair in Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
All right,
and that's kind of where they have a ton of wood art, but a lot of barrels around the midsection, and when you bring the barrel up or down, a giant penis.
Yeah, a penis is there.
Like a spring-loaded penis pops up. Boing, and all the other stuff they sell, bowls and Rastafarian type of art and all that crap. But there was a woman was sitting on the stool, and I kept looking at the stool, and I'm like, man, that is a badass stool, because it was a wood that was only available in Jamaica.
Right.
It kind of had this, you know, just the wood grain in it was unique. It kind of looked like a teak, but a Brazilian boa. It was just, and she was just sitting on the damn thing. And I'm like, ma'am, how much for the stool you're sitting on?
And she's like, are you like, crazy?
I don't know, $5. So I'm like, $5? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, I am taking this thing home with me. She's like, you want the stool? She's like, because she had all this, I mean, she had a spread of stuff, you know, tapestries and all the, everything. You want the stool? And I was like, yeah, I want the stool. So this is like 10 o'clock in the morning. We end up going walking down the beach. She's like, I'll be here for, you know, for the rest of the afternoon. We're like, all right, when we come back down, you know, we'll just pick it up.
Yeah.
I come down and give her the $5. I take the stool. This is like a Saturday or whatever. And it just fits in my suitcase. Like, it perfectly fit in my suitcase. I'm like, this is money. I didn't take everything with me that I brought there, obviously, but yeah. I got that damn thing in there. Customs had a field day going through that. Like, why did you buy this? I was like, I want this stool.
Look at the wallet.
I mean, that was basically it. BWI. I mean, they were just grilling me. Like, okay, they're trying to see if there was anything inside.
Of course.
All the different things. The funny thing was, not funny, but the following day, it was a weekend, so they still have this outdoor festival, I believe, is every day as far as the market goes. I mean, you could buy produce, you could buy, it's an outdoor market. Walk by her the next day, and she's standing up in the corner.
Oh, no.
Got nowhere to sit.
Oh, yeah, you bought her stool.
I bought her stool. She hadn't got a replacement yet. She was standing with her arms folded. And I was like, hey, I can go get the stool if you need it to sit on today. She's like, keep the stool. And I was like, okay, I can tell there's a little bitterness. Like, she didn't think this the whole way through. Because she was standing up the whole day.
She never got herself a replacement stool.
No, she did not. Well, I mean, not while I was there.
Yeah.
What if it was carved out of, like, one piece of wood?
It's in my living room right now. I've had it for years. It's the end table that I have by my chair.
Ted, I'm going to tell you something about a solid piece of carved wood. So we're in Mexico, same kind of thing. Some artist, he had hand-carved solid piece of wood. It's like this little elephant thing, all right? Maybe about the size of a loaf of bread. We're like, that is super cool. The way he painted it, we bought it. When we got to customs, I really didn't give it a thought, man. We land back in the States, and these guys pulled us out, and they're immediately like, what is that? I'm like, well, most people will call that an elephant. You can call it whatever you'd like, but most people recognize what that is. And they pick them, and they're shaking it, and I'm like, guys, it's not hollow. And that, I never thought about the fact that they think you're a drug mule. Mm-hmm. I get it now. It makes complete sense. But I'm like, guys, it's not even hollow, but they took it off to the x-ray machine, which proved it is not hollow. There are no cavities inside of it. And they still had more questions. And I'm like, look, man, either this thing's made out of drugs, and I have no idea that it is, because it feels like wood to me. But you end up spending an additional 15 minutes just answering questions. Like, look, man, me and my wife liked it. We just bought it. You're right. I should have thought about the drug mule thing. But it's not hollow. We did buy a hollow piece about 2 years later. Forgot about it. When we got it back, it had been cut at the neck.
Oh, no way.
Oh, no, they glued it back together. I mean, they patched it together, and there's a note in there that explained, because they're running through the x-ray machine, and this is not a solid piece of wood, right? It's a cavity in an animal shape, and I got it. And they did a good job reattaching the head, but
you can still see it. Nobody else will know, but you know.
I wouldn't have known if they didn't put the note, but once they put the note, we're like, Jesus, man. And sure enough, I mean, it was this clean sever across.
It's kind of like when you do home improvements. You know there's a gap there, or you know it, and you're the only one who can see it. No one else can.
They always leave that note, though. That's that story about my mom gave me two chicken sandwiches, but she wrapped them up in foil, like two foil bricks, put them in a Ziploc. I didn't really think about it. Same thing. I just threw them in my bag, and then... Yeah, I'm waiting for my bag, and it's got all these tags all over it. It's been searched and this and that.
Oh, you checked the chicken salad?
Yeah.
Well, because it's going to be in a cold compartment anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, Miles.
Yeah.
I thought I was playing it smart.
Sure.
That's right. Should have taken them on carry-on. That way you could have eaten one.
Mm-hmm. I will say, wooden crab knockers. When my dad passed away, me and Chris got all the stuff out of the house. So I was like, I'm going to take some of these home. That was like a 10-minute conversation. I was like, I don't need them. Like, going just because they were in my carry-on.
Yeah.
They're like, I just don't know if you can have them on the plane.
What are you going to whack someone in the head with a wooden
They keep calling supervisors, and they're all like, boink. Never seen this one. I'm like, we're at Dulles. I just came from Maryland. I'm like, it's not that odd.
Right. What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
I'll tell you right now, if you hijack a plane with a crab mallet, I'd have to give you credit. Like, look, man, I don't know what kind of badass this was, but
I mean, they were legit just confused. I don't know. I was like, I don't know either. I'm asking.
Right. It's a crab mallet.
Right, because they're like, anything in there? Crab mallets. All right.
Everybody over.
Relax.
Hello, Loretta. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola. So what do you own, Loretta?
Well, we have a real human skull that's in a glass case.
All right. Why do you have that?
Because my husband, when he went to dental school, they had to purchase that, I guess, for some class or whatever. But
instead of textbooks, let's see, you're going to need 3 highlighters, college ruled spiral notebook, and a human skull.
Right. Now they have synthetic ones, but he graduated dental school like in the 80s. So, yeah. So it was in our house for many years before I ever even knew it. So,
but how did you discover that it was in your house?
Because one of my kids was cleaning the attic, and when I got home, she was really excited and was like, guess what I found?
I wonder if you could do a DNA test on that and send it into 23andMe and figure out who in the hell that is.
Find out it's a cousin of yours.
I got your hand. Dude, I got your aunt's head in a glass box.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. I mean, I think he said he knew it was like a male, like in his 30s, but that was like it. Okay. That's all the information.
You know, man, maybe do the DNA test. It would be interesting. At least see what the person looked like.
Find out where the damn thing came from. I mean, obviously, somebody donated their body to science.
Okay, let me ask you.
So the family already knows that.
All right, Loretta. All right, so say you did the DNA test. You find out it's, I don't know, you know, Jack Lewis, right? And you can track down his family. Would you let the family know that you have the skull of a relative?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would not either.
I don't think I would. No.
I would not want to know that.
No, me either. I wouldn't want someone to tell me, so I don't think I'd tell them.
Here's what you don't do. You don't take it out of the glass box, right? And then put it in a burlap bag and then put it in a freezer in the garage. That's the only thing you don't do with that thing.
No, it's like such a respectful thing, right, when they get those for school. And so it's all encased, and it's a really nice container, you know, so yeah.
No, I would hope so.
It doesn't have a name on it, like Dave or Fred or anything like that.
No, I asked, did you name it? And he was like, no. What fun is that?
How can you not name it?
I know.
I mean, you're obviously not giving it the correct name, but yeah,
there's
Gary over there.
Yeah, you don't know.
Always got something to say. What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Steve-O. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, Steve, what do you own?
I don't own it anymore, but I used to have, like, a full-on mascot penguin suit.
What was it? Was it just a penguin suit, or were you actually a mascot for someone?
No, it was just a penguin suit that I got for a birthday, as I got it for a birthday present.
And how often did you break it out?
I used to break it out every Halloween when I go trick-or-treating with my daughter and her nieces and nephews, and I mean, it was like, you know, like a full-on, the mascot had like size. It was really hard to see through. I break it out for costume parties at bars. I busted it out in a couple of concerts, like local concerts here in Spokane.
Sure.
I'd be pumped if you came to the door with your kids and you're dressed as a penguin.
If you're wearing, as an adult.
Look, if you're wearing a onesie that basically just has like a hoodie with a penguin head on top of the hood, then, you know, you can buy that on Amazon. But the fact that you actually have the mascot head, that changes the whole dynamic as far as the costume goes. Even if you can't see out of it.
That, you're right. That changes everything about it. Like, okay.
That makes it a real mascot.
Yeah.
Instead of like
I'm a onesie or whatever.
Right. Like, mate, because there's like onesies, which is fine. Then there's like a penguin costume. But when you have that mascot thing, and those things are expensive.
Mm-hmm. They've got to be,
next
man.
Level.
And have you ever worn a mascot outfit, Ted?
Negative.
Would you like to? I mean, just if the chance came up and they said, hey, man, look, we'll cut you. You didn't have to go out and perform. Or maybe we'll give you 5 minutes to perform for the kids or some birthday party in a suite.
Oh,
just show up, high five, take pictures, get out. Would you do it? I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah, of course.
But if you go to a game, I guarantee you rip your knee out. Something happens. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're saying, like, look, I would just want to go to the Sounders game, man, and roam the sidelines in your penguin outfit. Next thing you know, I'm down on the ground, grabbing my knee. What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803.
But I think it depends on the level.
Right, so like...
of the sport and stuff.
Like AAA...
yeah.
Probably yeah. Okay.
Even if they just had run out on the field. I'm like, I'm going to rip my knee out.
It depends on the size of the feet.
Here we go.
That'd be my decision.
Exactly.
Like, if it's my feet, I can do that, man. If I got to wear big feet, I'll end up on ESPN and not for a good reason.
A couple of other weird things that people say.
I'd be Otto tomorrow in a second.
Otto. Who's Otto?
The Syracuse Orange Man.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Dude. For sure.
An Iraqi banknote with Saddam Hussein's face on it.
All right.
So I brought that back. A 48-star U.S. flag.
That's pretty cool.
That would be. I have a walrus penis, guys. Another one. A fairly large, extremely well done, extremely naked portrait of me lying on a couch, done in pencil. My ex-girlfriend did it back in the day, but I still have it hanging above my fireplace. So when you walk in this guy's house, he's got a picture of himself naked, pencil sketched, laying on a couch.
That's kind of cool.
I hope he's winking at least.
What else? Own a wooden bottle opener that's carved as a penis.
Mm-hmm.
A 6-foot-tall paper mache giraffe is in my game room. Another one says a pinguina, which is a penguin that you fill with wine and then pour out of its beak into wine glasses. So it's an actual taxidermed penguin.
Oh, it's an actual, wow.
But it has a vessel in the middle of it, and you pour the wine out of the beak of the penguin into the wine glass.
Who wouldn't want that?
Bulletproof spandex. I'm a speed skater. It's mandatory safety attire. And
bulletproof?
I guess.
Bullet resistant. But
why does a speed skater need bulletproof on?
Yeah, people are always trying to kill him.
And not that this is the craziest thing, but it's pretty funny, guys. I share a very, very, very realistic artificial turd with my partner. It shows up when I least expect it in various places when I'm alone. Then I take it and hide it somewhere where my partner will then find it when I'm not around. We've been doing this back and forth for about a year, and never have we once talked about it.
That makes it even better.
What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
You're talking about like just wooden penises, big thing in Jamaica there, and the bottle openers, etc. So I did not know this about Italy. Italy has a very sexual history, okay? So we went to Pompeii. Very cool experience. It's everything that you've heard about, and there's a lot more to it than that. And you go through this thing, it's a pretty dark thing considering what happened, but the civilization itself pretty sophisticated. And they were all about the sexy time. Make no mistake about that, about Pompeii. You really don't know that until you get there, right? So you go through this whole tour, and at the very end of the tour, the last thing you see is the actual versions of all the pictures you've seen, right? So the couple that's embracing as
they're
dying. Guy masturbating is there. The little kid. And the little kid is pretty much the last thing you see before you step out of this exhibit, okay? So everyone who's there is excited to be there because it's Pompeii. When you get to that part, it is a little heavy. And just see a child as he died. And right, so exactly how you feel right now, that exact face, that's how you feel. It's just heavy. And then you open this door to step out, and it's like a farmer's market of nothing but wooden penises. And your mind is just, right? So, like I said, it's somber. It is heavy. Oh, my God. I mean, this is a child, man. This child, I've seen the picture, but to see it in real life is heavy. And you pop this door open, and it's like, do you want a penis? But it's everybody, man. And you're just like, what? There's no break from it. It's just you step to the exit, and it's just wooden penis everything. Penis, massive deal in Italy. So if you go to Italy, one thing you'll see is a single chili pepper, kind of like the Chili's logo, right? And it's kind of everywhere. And as it was explained, they're all about the penis. Everything was penis. Penis, penis, penis. When Catholicism took over and the Pope visited that part of the country, obviously they're like, yo, man, you can't just have penises out. That's kind of against what we're doing here. And they were like, hey, cool, don't even worry about it. So they started using the chili pepper. That was their joke on the church. They said, chili pepper basically in Italy represents a penis. So it's anywhere you go, if you see a single chili pepper, it's a throwback to the days of the penis. Okay. I did not know that until we went there. And man, You leave Pompeii, the first thing they want to say, a penis. What kind of penis do you want? A salty shaker, the bottle opener, just a wooden penis, a penis light, a penis beer holder, a penis.
That's for you silly, right, Ted? What thing do you own that makes people ask? Why do you own that? 206-803.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We rock.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
So spooky! Taryn Daly, Steve Aix, the Daily Mix Morning Show, Cut Double Sin Spin. We got 10 characters that you will see on Halloween. Mike's going to play a snippet of the tune. It is up to us to determine what the monster or character is associated with the
okay.
song.
Okay, all right.
That is coming up at 4:20. We will, 4:30. We will sit and spin right after emails on our question. What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Whitney. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I own poison dart frogs.
Okay.
You do own those.
So we brought it up earlier, and some people texted in and tell me if this is correct. They say, look, poison dart frogs are not poisonous outside of the natural habitat. Anyone that you purchase in the U.S. perfectly safe to touch. If bred in captivity, poison dart frogs, they don't get the poison skin. They get it from the rainforest plants where they're native.
That is 100% correct, because if the bugs that they're eating are feeding off the poisonous plants, then that goes into their body and they get the poison. But if they're bred in captivity, like, for example, I feed mine fruit flies. Fruit flies are not poisonous. They're not being fed a poisonous diet, so therefore the ones bred in captivity are not poisonous.
How do you get the fruit fly? Like, look, I mean, everyone I know has got fruit flies, but none of us are buying them. So, I mean, do you go to a place to buy them, or just sort of like a rotten banana in the tank?
Well, I go to my local pet store where the guy who I got my frogs from actually cultures fruit flies himself and sells them at the local pet store. So I just know where the source of my flies are coming from, which is nice. I could technically do it myself, but it just takes a lot of space and a lot of effort to
Do any of the fruit flies
get
escape
out.
Yeah, right? I mean, it seems like, I mean,
so the ones that I buy are actually bred to be flightless, so they don't fly around.
Okay.
Which is nice.
All right.
So then they just kind of hop if they escape. You know, I get every once in a while, they're little, so they might escape every once in a while, but I usually just catch them.
What do you do with them?
Like, what I do with the frogs? They just
Do you have races in a living room? Or, I mean, you know, kind of like...
I wish.
Like corgi
so
races
fun.
Or whatever? Babies crawling?
I do have two cats, so they're cat TV. Great cat TV.
And the cats are alone.
So they know not to get on top of the tank, but I'll let them, like, look inside and try pretend like they can get on.
How long do you think that frog would last if it jumped out of that
tank?
That's
what I'm saying. Yes.
Oh, with my cats, it maybe lasts, if he was lucky, an hour.
All right.
Most likely about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give that thing an hour.
Okay.
And how many frogs do you have and what colors are they?
I currently have four. I have two of two different varieties. I have a bumblebee variety, which is just a black and yellow striped. And then I have cobalt blues, which are like lime green blue with black spots.
Yeah, those are cool looking ones, I think.
Okay. I mean, they are cool looking frogs as far as frogs go.
Yeah, in the world of frogs, they are cool looking frogs.
Do they stink? Do they smell?
No. I also, the terrariums I keep them in are bioactive, so they got live plants in there. They got isopods keeping the soil nice and fresh, cleaning up all the waste. And they're pretty, like, once you get the tank cycled and functioning like a little rainforest, it's really easy to maintain. You just got to clean the glass every once in a while.
And how long does your average poison dart frog exist in captivity?
If you keep them pretty well, they can live up to be, like, 8. I've had mine for 3 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I'm just curious. Like, people come up with cool names for dogs. They come up with crazy names for cats. What have you named your frogs?
The two yellow ones are Agent and Phil, named after a scene in Iron Man.
Okay.
And my other two are Tangerine and Lemon, after a bullet train.
Okay.
All right.
Just
interesting.
Like,
interesting.
Other than Kermit, I don't know any frogs that have been named.
What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tyler. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Tyler.
Uh-oh. No Tyler.
Throw him back on hold. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So before I get to the two kind of weird items, back to the Jamaica thing, my buddy came back from Jamaica. He got me a ashtray that had a monkey on it with a Rasta hat with his pants down and a big old banana shot glass that said Jamaica on it. When you took the shot glass off, it was just a big old monkey wang hanging over your ashtray.
I don't know that it is Jamaica and Italy, they love penises.
Mm-hmm. And it's never small.
Oh, God, no.
Proportionally speaking to whatever the statue is, yeah. It's always a little bit bigger.
Well, Jamaica's probably like, look, we already have a reputation.
Right. Exactly.
We're going to perpetuate it.
Halfway through.
That's it, yeah.
So, anyway, so the first little small object, actually, I took a bunch of those to an engagement party, and I put them in what I normally bring to, which is a shopping basket from...
Wait, say that again, man. Your phone just broke up. Dang.
Kind of boots up from his boat and all of that. So he gave me that. He had a bunch of those. But the one that I told Mike about, do you guys know those metal kid assist, like, bowling ramps?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife acquired one from a... Her work was going out of business, which was a retirement home. They use it for the old people in wheelchairs. And now I have one sitting out at my house, and my people occasionally ask, why do you have that? And I said, it's the same reason why I have a movie theater popcorn machine and a Wii. Because we got it for free.
Why? Do people know what it is when they see it?
No, they had no idea, except for my dad this time. I honestly had no idea what it was to begin with. But we took my kids bowling this weekend, and they used one. I was like, no freaking way.
I've got one. I gotta ask, how did you acquire the movie theater grade popcorn machine?
So that was the nursing facility's popcorn machine, and they were just getting rid of it. She put a sticky note with her name on it, and they're like, yep, come on, pick it up. So, yeah, full rolling cart. Oh. It does the whole, like, pour over, all that good stuff.
I was going to say, right. is the popcorn better than you can just make regularly?
Oh, 100% better. Like, when we break that thing out, it's legitimately, like, you don't notice the difference between that and, like, going to a cinema.
Huh. Really? All right. Okay. All right.
What does it say? Are you just using regular popcorn kernels, dump it in, heats it up, and that's it?
No special oil?
So you use the peremptory oil, but the popcorn oil you can buy at, like, Cash and Carry.
All right.
And then the trick is, honestly, and I think this might be the secret to it, there's this, like, orange box of, like, movie theater salt that comes in a huge freaking box. Like, probably, like, a quart to like a half gallon, and that I'm pretty sure is the secret spice that makes the popcorn taste like movie theater, like actual popcorn.
Do you put that in the oil or do you put that on afterward?
So you put that on after, so it's like as soon as it gets hot, so you put the oil and popcorn in the actual cauldron, then when it pops out, you just take your little shaker, sprinkle it on top, shake it up a little bit, pop it in your bowl, and it's legitimately like...
Okay.
Fresh popcorn. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I would live on that.
I know, me too. I was just thinking, is there such a difference in movie theater popcorn?
I mean, the thing I look most forward to...
the butter, too. You need to get the
butter. I think the butter goes a long way.
Yeah. The thing I look most forward to about going to the movie theater, and I do it rarely. I've done it more now that I have kids, but honestly, it's like, it's the popcorn. So most of the time I go to the theater, not every movie sucks, but it's not a movie I would have chosen to see, but I'm like, you know what, man? I'm going to get that big-ass bucket of popcorn. One thing I forgot about my son, I have to get two extra larges because he'll take one down, I'll take one down. So it's, and then mom and the sister, they can reach in when they want some. But yeah, we...
I always ask the lady or the guy working the counter, I'm like, can you do me a favor? Can you fill that up halfway with popcorn?
And then butter.
Then put butter on. And then fill it back up and then put butter on it.
Yeah,
I want butter in the middle.
I do too, man.
I don't want, because I know that between my kids or the ex-wife, they're going to pick all of the butter,
good stuff
off the top, and then when I get to the bottom, they will have eaten all the buttered popcorn.
Yeah, and you get the dry stuff.
And I'm sitting there with crap. So that's
I agree.
I like butter and salt. Last time I went to a movie theater this summer, it didn't even seem like you had to ask. I didn't add any extra butter. It was buttery and salty.
Yeah, come on, man.
What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Honestly, popcorn at home has come a long way, right? There's popcorn shops, right? You go down to Cobb, mm-hmm.
sure.
Market. Like, you'd find popcorn. But, like, I remember as a kid, you had Jiffy Pop. Then there was microwave popcorn. God, I sound old. But, like, there wasn't a popcorn setting. You burnt it all the time. It just sucked.
Every single
time.
And
then, like, now you can get, like, movie theater butter popcorn and this and that, and it's awesome.
Did you ever get the air popper?
Oh, man.
That was a letdown. Like, you were excited because you got to watch it pop.
Well,
and all
it was
that,
new
but
at the time.
It was just dry.
It was dry.
It wasn't as good.
But you did not have the ability to make popcorn unless you had a stove.
Right.
So, and if your mom would let you make it or whatever the deal is, but just being able to turn that thing on, it heat up. There was a little butter tray on top.
Yeah.
You could put butter in the top of that if you wanted to.
I told you, my Aunt Barbara, she would just take off the top and we would put down like a bed sheet. And she just let it pop out in the living room.
Yeah, as a kid, that had to be awesome.
Now, right. As kids, we thought it was awesome. In retrospect, I'm like, I bet that popcorn tastes like crap because there's nothing on it.
That's probably why she did it.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll like it.
It would entertain us for however long it took for the popcorn to fly out.
Do they still make Jiffy
Pop?
It's
like a food puzzle for kids.
They still make Jiffy Pop?
Yes.
They do.
I'm almost positive.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, everyone I know will do microwave popcorn. Maybe you actually do the old style, and I should do it on the stove. I just don't know the last time I've seen Jiffy Pop.
It's nostalgia-wise, it's still good and buttery. You can add butter to it.
It's a good soup.
You know what? It helps if you have an electric stove.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'd say. Gas is okay, but it tends to, you really need to work it.
Yeah.
Because at least with an electric burner, it's a little bit more even as far as the heat distribution.
Okay.
So with the gas, you know, it's just firing up in that one pocket.
I'm going to have to buy some Jiffy Pop just to do it.
They have it hanging, man. I mean, they still hang it like in a rack.
So. All right.
Yeah. What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Nicole. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I recently got divorced, and I got the house. And I was cleaning out some closets. He left. Actually, about 6 years ago. And right after he retired from the military, his affair came out because you can get in a lot of trouble for having an affair in the military. And he was an officer. Well, inside this closet that I cleaned out were all of the military directional nautical charts for the Army boats that he was the ship's captain for.
Okay.
And they're all in my house.
Is it cool, or would you be fine without it?
Yeah, are you allowed to have that?
So he's retired now, and so these maps are retired.
Okay. All right.
The boat, actually, the ship that he was the officer for was retired, I think, like 3 years ago.
All right, but I still would think it's more about where the boat traveled.
Right.
So it's more about the route it took more so than if the boat's commissioned or not. Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I know that he had, like, when he brought them home, he had, like, some sort of sentimental attachment to them, but the house is mine and everything in the house is mine.
Well, do you have any kids? Did you guys have any kids?
What's that?
Did you have any children together?
We have two.
All right. Well, maybe that's something that they would want, like later on in life, to remember what their dad did.
Well, so here's what I'm going to do. Our kids are grown up, married. You know, my youngest daughter just had twins. But I'm redoing their bedrooms. So when the grandkids come to visit, they have nice space to sleep.
Don't make it too comfortable.
Well, they don't do it. See, you don't do that for your own kids.
Yeah, don't make it too comfortable. I'm telling you right now.
You make your kids' room nice when your kids have kids.
I'm cutting out all the white space from these charts, and I'm using them as wallpaper.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay.
In their rooms.
Just know that they'll never be able to use it in any other way. Once you put it on the wall, man, it's...
Sure.
I mean, it's
kind of cool and interesting, though.
We had
a family member. He's passed now. But he was in World War II, and he had these maps of, like, Nazi movements, right? Because they basically captured some Nazis and
He was supposed to make them go away.
Yeah.
He kind of is like, I don't know if I could do this, whatever. Basically just is like, just don't come back. So the two of them run off. The one guy comes back and is like, here.
Oh, really?
This will help your side because this will show you where they are.
Oh, wow.
Damn. And he still had them. So, I mean, I was a kid when I saw him, but it was pretty cool to see him.
That's pretty intense, man.
Dude, the coconut that my grandfather pulled off the Bikini Atoll. So in the basement, there's a box of his military stuff. And it's, you know, wool stuff, dress, whites, all those different things as far as the Navy goes. And all the awards that he won, which I can't really identify, but they're all from World War II. But that damn coconut, man. You shake it, it's still got liquid in it. It's still got coconut milk. That was, what, 1940, 50, was it? Whatever? I mean, it's still got coconut
milk. Well, the war ended in 45.
Yeah, well, it's still got milk in it.
But were they testing during the war? Yeah, I guess they had to before they dropped it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff is super cool. Right, I mean, I'm a bit of a history nerd, so I love it, right? But, like, my brother didn't really care. So I have, like, my dad's, like, ring from, like, officer candidate school. Like his Bronze Star and a couple other things.
That is cool.
That is cool, man.
What thing do you own that makes people ask, why do you own that? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brad. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor pudding.
Hola.
Yeah, so some years ago, I came into possession of a human tibia and femur.
All right.
Tibia. Yeah, took me a second.
Yeah, like, I heard you.
What?
Yeah. You got a human tibia?
How did you get your hands on these?
So my grandpa opened a chiropractor clinic in the 60s in Bellevue, and then my uncle took it over. And about 4 or 5 years ago, he decided to retire and sell the building to a pot shop. So I go and help him clear everything out, all the tables and everything. And he's like, yeah, if you see anything that you might want, you know, just let me know. And I saw those bones, and he was like, oh, yeah, those were grandpa's medical specimens, you know, show people, like, how exactly bones work and what they look like, the fact that they're porous, all that. So I'm just like, man, those would look really cool. Like, I keep my record player inside this fancy glass and metal case that was originally built for Nordstrom's, and on top of that are two crossbones.
All right. Have you thought about, like, maybe at Thanksgiving, just the weird people out, like, I don't know, stir the mashed potatoes at one of them, something like that?
You know what? I'm thinking maybe more centerpiece.
Oh, not a bad call, man.
Or just stick it out of the butt of the turkey. Yeah. Something like that.
There you go.
Yeah, bone in ham. Whatever you got going on. Okay.
I like it.
There is something interesting about medical stuff. I don't know why. You know what I mean? For saying, man, this hospital closed. Yeah. And, like, for God's sake, I would end up taking a wheelchair. Do you want the wheelchair? You know what? I do. I want the
My grandmother's got all her nursing stuff, her stethoscopes, all the, even just reflex, those little rubber.
Oh, the little rubber mallet things.
I would like a stethoscope.
It still works. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Put it in. It's like,
listen to something somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's the weird thing about them. Like, honestly,
blood pressure, things that you put around your arms.
But, like,
you
know, when we were a kid. Pump on them.
I got one of those, too.
When we were kids, we got our hands on a stethoscope for, like, 3 weeks. And it was just a matter of, we'd, like, try to spy on my parents, spy on each other, because you'd hold it up to the door, and whatever someone was doing on the other side, it was definitely amplified.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the only thing was, like, but if you knew someone was there, it's like, hey, seriously, like, don't knock on the other side of the door or something.
It'll blow you up.
It'll absolutely.
If I had a stethoscope on, and I had Mike take his shirt off, and I listened, I guess you don't have to take a shirt off, sorry, Mike, but I think they do, and I listened to his back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never know what the doctor's listening for. Would I be able to tell?
He wants you to breathe in. Yeah, he wants you to breathe in and breathe out so he can hear if there's any kind of raspiness or anything that would maybe be a sign of infection or, you know, your lungs not working properly.
Or hear a little voice.
I just always wonder, is there like, oh, is there a dog in there?
Damn right.
No, like, you wonder, like, is there something specific or is it just like, you'll know if something's wrong?
Maybe that's it, man. Like, look, I don't know where it is in your body, but that doesn't sound right.
Coming up at 4:30, Taryn Daly, Steve Meeks from the Daily Meeks Morning Show will join us. We'll sit and spin. And today we have 10 characters that you will see on Halloween. And we've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.